This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Looking forward to hearing from you as you call in with your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, or word of encouragement. We really do love to hear from you here. We love to have that holy conversation to enter into a time when we can come together as the electronic mystical body of Christ. Can we say that? So that we can, give acclamation to the Lord for all of the wonderful things that he's done for us in our life and continues to do, even if they come shrouded sometimes in packaging that looks like sorrow or sadness. He's in the midst of it all, and he is there to be found, and he is there for us to experience the manifestation of his Holy Spirit that gives us the courage to move forward, that gives us the fortitude to hang in there with the gift of perseverance and the gift of constancy. So please do give us a call. What is the number to use? Well, I've got a toll-free one for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So just pick up the phone, call us here. Matt Kubensky is waiting for you. He's eager. I'm eager. We like to talk with you. We do. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply go out to those sites, either one of them. Use the chat feature there. Put your question or comment in there. We will retrieve it and get it up on the board. We've got Ace McKay producing today. He's sitting in for Jeff Burson, and we're delighted to have him. It's always lovely when we have these, I like to say, guest producers, but they're really part of the team. But it's always nice when we have someone sitting in the seat for Jeff, keeping it warm for him for when he comes back. He'll be back with us next week. Again, that toll-free number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I want to give a shout out to my friend, buddy, sister in Christ, Teresa Tamio. Last evening up there in the Detroit area, she celebrated her 20th year in Catholic Communications on Ave Maria Radio. She's been with EWTN for 15 of those 20 years, and what a great grace and pleasure it is to have been working with Teresa all of these years. We've formed a nice friendship through these years, and I just admire so much the good work that she does for the kingdom of God. So I want to congratulate her. I did send her a little congratulations video to be played at the event, and Jack was there with her and all of these other marvelous people that were celebrating this momentous occasion in her life. But what a joy it was to be able to do that video. But I wanted to acknowledge those 20 years of service to the kingdom of God and his people through Catholic radio in light of the efforts and the mission, the outreach of Teresa Tamio. I'm sure many of you listened to her. I think that she precedes us immediately. No, does she? Yeah, I think that there might be a show in between. I think the Pop Checks come on right before me. Isn't that awful that I don't know the schedule? But I know my schedule, and keeping that in, keeping track of that is enough effort for me. I sometimes get little calls, Johnette, do you see what time it is? Oh, excuse me, I'll be right there, that kind of stuff. Maybe you're like that too. I don't know. It's what happens when you're busy for the Lord. But all of that being said, hey, Teresa, way to go, girlfriend. Just wonderful things. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Let's hear from you today. Always do like to remind you about our website, womenofgrace.com. We've got all kinds of good things available for you out there. And, we've got this little slideshow thing that, is up there, and you can look at that, and it gives you sort of like a week at a glance on what's on our television program, Women of Grace, seen on EWTN television at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday Monday through Friday. We had Raymond Arroyo hitting things off for us at the beginning of the week here. And we have some really exciting Christmas programs coming up. We've got some Advent programs that we aired this week. Next week, we're going to have more of the same. So I'm hoping that you'll show up and watch us right there on EWTN television. It's always a great pleasure and joy to know that you're out there. And we want to hear from you on radio, too. I just love Catholic radio. I don't know how you feel about it, but it just makes me near giddy with joy. It really, really does. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Calling your attention to some upcoming events that are happening. February 4th, we're going to be in Boca. We've got to save the date up there. We'll soon have registration features for you there. And we're just waiting to tie up a few little strings here so that we can present and roll out to you the entirety of things. But the schedule is there. So we invite you to go out to our website, take a look at that. We're hoping that you're going to join us at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church there in Boca Raton, Florida for this one-day event. It is on healing the wounds of the heart. I'm going to be doing the presentations. There will be two of them. Hoping to, you know, open your mind up to the healing power of the Holy Spirit, especially in those areas of our life where the wounds have dug deeply. And we'll be learning about those wounds. We'll be learning about how it is that they affect us. We'll be learning about what we can do about them. We'll be learning about how to discover them. And, you know, we always find that this particular topic is very meaningful to so many people, and it gives me great joy and pleasure to be able to present on it. So we're looking forward to joining you there. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Alexandria, Louisiana, at the Fullness of Truth Spiritual Warfare Conference. That's going to be a power-packed moment. So if you're in that area, or if you feel like driving in because you're outside of that area, or flying in, or catching a train, or getting a bus, I don't know, driving, you know, we would love to see you that event. That's February the 17th. So we've got the 4th, the 17th, and then March 23rd, we are in my growing up location, and that is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are going to have 2 days with Mary, a Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, taking place at St. John Newman Regina Chaley Catholic Church there in the Pittsburgh area. And it's going to be a beautiful time together. I love to do these seminars because, there's presentations, obviously, but there's a lot of interaction, a lot of communication between myself and the people that attend. In addition to all of that, we have moments for study and reflection, a lot of group discussion, but it's just beautiful. And this particular seminar, this particular Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is one that is really, really quite lovely. And I teach you some beautiful ways to enter more deeply into your time of prayer. And we actually have opportunities to explore that when we're together. Anyway, it's going to be wonderful. I guess I can say that because, you know, where the Blessed Mother is, the Holy Spirit is. And where the Holy Spirit is, the Blessed Mother is. And we are going to be all caught up in this beautiful, beautiful spousal relationship of Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. And it's going to continue after that because that weekend, beginning on Friday, March the 24th, we will start a retreat right there at the same location, St. John Newman Regina Chaley Catholic Church. And the theme is the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit. It is going to be quite lovely, quite beautiful, very dynamic, very, very dynamic. So I certainly do invite you to join us for those events. And there's more. There's more out there. So get out to our website and check it out. In the meantime, here's what I want you to do. Pick up the phone, punch in these numbers, say howdy hey to Matt, give him your question or comment, tell him where you're calling from, and we will be very eager to talk with you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give it a try. You're going to like it. I can promise you that. Going to be right back with you. I'm Johnette Williams. This is Women of Grace Live. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy to be with you today. And as I've been telling you, we are live for you. So we want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Encouraging you to pick up the phone and give us a call. We have Tom Price answering the phones today. And that's a rare treat. So we're inviting you to call in. Say howdy hey to Tom. It's going to be very nice. 833 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Ace McKay sitting in for Jeff Burson today, and that is a wonderful thing, too. We are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We certainly do invite you to get out there to use the chat feature at either one of those sites to put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. I am very, very eager to receive your questions or comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement, whatever you want to share there. I'm eager to receive it, and that's another way that you can communicate with us. And I want to tell you too, go right ahead and email questions to us if you like. Then on a special day that we dedicate to just going into our email bag or to our listener comment call line, we will pull it out and we will have a response for you. So how do you reach us? Well, it's Women of Grace, all one word, plural on the women, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. You can also leave questions there for the Friday teaching show that I do on EWTN television. Every Friday, we've got a teaching show that is there. If you send in a question to womenofgrace@ewtn.com and put television in the line there, then we'll know that you want that to be a question that I respond to on the air there on television. So always trying to be very accessible to you. We just love spending the time with you and having that holy conversation. So light up our lives by lighting up our phone lines, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. I want to tell you about a couple of things. I've got a little squib I want to read to you as well. But in addition to that, I just want to tell you, I had a beautiful day yesterday in studio at EWTN. I interviewed Father Donald Haggerty on his book about St. John of the Cross, Master of Contemplation. What a powerful book this is, because Father Haggerty really unpacks for us the whole area of contemplative prayer as understood by St. John of the Cross. And it gives us a way, you know, to begin to incorporate this into our own time of prayer. He gives us the signs that we might see in our prayer time when God is moving us from the prayer form that we've used, most typically a discursive meditation, into contemplation. And it's always sad when we don't recognize those signs, because God is holding out a deeper way of entering into his divine life and letting his divine life enter into us. And oftentimes we will miss those signs, and we will become very frustrated in our life of prayer because we're not yielding to those signs, right? We're not giving into those signs. And so that was very, very helpful to talk about yesterday. These shows are going to air probably right after the first of the year. So you might want to just notate that on your calendar. I mean, I just felt like personally, and this is a great privilege. I often say that I am a spoiled, privileged daughter of the Most High God, because I get to interview these marvelous individuals with these great minds, and they've helped me so much through the years. Maybe they don't even know that, but a big thank you to all of them, have helped me in my own growth in relationship with our Lord. And I just felt like I was on a personal retreat yesterday with Father Donald Haggerty, because I was able to ask all of the questions, you know, that I had, you know, that have to do with prayer in general and my own life of prayer, and to share with him some things. So while it obviously is a holy conversation and an interview, for all of us to appreciate, in a certain way, it was very personal for me. So I hope that you will watch it. Just wonderful. You know, get the book. It's out there at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. His other books on contemplative prayer are also available for you there. What a great resource we have in EWTNRC.com, the website of EWTN's Religious Catalog. So just wanted to share a little bit about that with you. Our phone lines are lighting up, but we've got room for you. Yes, we do. I'd love to see your name in this block on my computer screen. Yes, I would. So do call us, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We have Carla with us. She is out there in Colorado, and she is listening to us. And I've got to whisper this. She's listening to us on Alexa. If I don't whisper it, my Alexa will pipe up and want to know what my question is or what I want her to do. But Carla is with us, and we're happy about it. Hey, Carla, how are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome, honey. You don't sound so fine to me. What's happening?
I'm calling in for prayers for my son, Michael.
Okay. All right.
He's 37 and has struggled with depression for about 20 years.
Oh.
And over the last year, I kind of observed some changes. So I felt like maybe his medicine wasn't working as well, but he doesn't really like to talk about it or answer a lot of questions. He called me yesterday and said that he's been admitted to a facility for intensive treatment for depression, and he didn't tell me what led up to it, and I'm not sure I want to know.
Okay.
But I just need him lifted up in prayer, please. And it really worries me because his dad took his own life when my son was 3.
Oh,
and I know it's not hereditary, but I think he's probably never really grieved. And I think he's just carrying around so much. Mm-hmm. He's been away from the church for almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday when I talked to him, he was so emotional and so afraid. And I tried to talk to him, and I said, I don't know if you believe, I don't know, but I just want you to please get on your knees and say, I don't know if you're real, but please help me. And so he starts his treatment today, and he'll be in for a week.
Okay. So let me ask you a couple of questions here, Carla, and then we definitely will pray. And I'm going to ask everybody in our listening audience today to join us in this prayer. But let me just ask you, do you have a good relationship with him? I mean, you interact with him on a regular basis?
I do. It's always been a little bit strained because I'm so, passionate about the faith, and that kind of drove him away. But yes, we do interact on a regular basis.
That's good. Does he live near you?
Yeah, just a couple minutes away.
Excellent. So are you aware of which facility he's in?
Yes, he called me and gave me the name and the security code.
Okay, excellent. So you have opportunity to visit with him, right?
Right, and he called me this morning. I wasn't able to get through to him last night because he was asleep, and then people didn't answer the phone. But thankfully, I was praying, please call me, and he did, and he said he's very scared. He doesn't want to be there, and he doesn't want to keep going through these, living like this. And I reminded him. I said, well, something prompted you to go get help yesterday, and
that's
you
right.
did the absolutely right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just going to take time and patience on your part to work through it.
That's right. Well, and I just want to join you in praising and thanking God that whatever it was that spurred him to seek help and treatment happened for him so that he can get the help and the treatment that he needs. And we're going to ask the Lord to provide specifically the right kind of help and the right kind of treatment for him. I'm glad that you're near him, Carla, because the best thing that you can do for him right now is to be present to him. And I simply mean, not sitting there 24/7, but letting him know you love him and just being with him, even not saying anything, but just to be that silent support for him. And in your time in prayer, you might use the gift of your imagination to envision yourself in the role of Mary. Our Blessed Lady stood at the foot of the cross. There is nothing in sacred scripture that tells us that they had verbal interaction. But they certainly had emotional and spiritual interaction, even if very few words or no words were spoken. And I often think about this a beautiful relationship between mother and son, between mother and daughter, where the silence is not quiet. Though there is not noise, there is much going on. And I think that our Blessed Lady, in those moments of her son's last travail, was really just, in a certain sense, communicating to him through her spouse, the Holy Spirit, her own strength, her own courage, her maternal love that supersedes time and space or situations and circumstances. And in a sense, you know, what a Marian kind of disposition of heart for you to envision when you go to visit him, that you just ask our Blessed Lady to work in you and to work through you in the same way as was done when she stood at the foot of the cross, because this is your son's cross. And we know that the cross of Jesus brought about the greatest gift that mankind has ever known, and that is salvation and redemptive grace. And so there is no cross that's entrusted to us that is powerless. There is no cross that's entrusted to us that is fallow and void. No, it is capable of great fertility, and it's capable of dispensing the very light of God into moments of darkness, ours or the darkness of the whole world. And you know all this because you're a woman of faith, so you understand this. This is probably not the time to preach to your son, but should he ask you questions, you know, just open your heart to him, but just be there with him. I think that that's going to bring him immeasurable consolation, especially if you arrive with that attitude of heart. And I know that the grace and the life of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit, is going to be flowing through you into those moments where you are with him. And what you've shared here today about the loss of his father, you know, he was just 3 years old. He couldn't comprehend, couldn't begin to understand what was taking place. But nonetheless, I'm certain that, you know, this was felt by him at a very deep level. And it may well be that, you know, those nasty kinds of effects that come by way of betrayal, abandonment, and a sense of rejection might be there. So as we pray, we'll bring all of that to the foot of the cross, and let's just you and I come what's the word that I want to use? Kind of like Marianites. Let us just come to this moment of prayer in the disposition of heart of our Blessed Virgin. And Father God, Carla and I come before you now in this moment, and we lift Michael up to you. Oh, Father God, you know, I see Michael, you know, in this moment, in the despondency of heart that he feels, and in the isolation that he feels, in the state of depression that he feels, and I think of your own son as he hung upon that tree, and he cried out in his own sense of darkness, in his own place of despondency, in his own place of a type of overwhelming anxiety, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet we know, Father God, that our Lord Jesus was not forsaken, and neither is Michael. It's just that sometimes in our humanity, even in the humanity of your son, as witnessed by those words coming forth from him as he hung upon that tree, Father God, we know that in our humanity, sometimes you seem so far removed from us. And yet in those moments when you seem furthest away, you are truly right there. And I'm asking now, Father, that through the Holy Spirit, there would be this glimmer of light that would find its way into the saddened heart of your son, Michael, that would enlighten and encourage him, inspire him, that would in some way become a stronghold, something he can actually yield to. Something, Father God, that he can hold on to get him through this trial. And I pray, Father God, that just as resurrection was the end result of the time in the tomb that our Lord spent, that for Michael, this tomb that he is in for this week, as he seeks the help that he needs, that there would be resurrection from that tomb. That even though right now all seems to be so dark and so miserable, that it truly isn't. Because in that darkness, behind that darkness, is the brilliance of your love and the brilliance of your light. And I'm just simply praying, and so is everyone that's joining us in this prayer right now, that this light breaks through into the consciousness, the heart, the psyche of your son, Michael. Father God, whatever wounds of the heart have afflicted him that caused by his dad's suicide when he was three. Whatever way that the evil one has wanted to use that incident to confound the life of your son, Michael, I'm just now asking, Father, that through the mercy that resides within the heart of your son, that those cords, those entanglements, those strangling ties now, Father, would be cut by the precious blood of the Lamb that your son received at the moment of his baptism. Father God, we know that nothing is impossible with you, and neither is this situation impossible with you. And Mary, our mother, Carla and I come in your spirit, in your person, in the sense of the way in which the Holy Spirit worked in you for your son's benefit, as you stood beneath that cross. I ask that would be the case when Carla sits with her son, that all of the faith, all of the hope, all of the love, all of the encouragement, everything that the Holy Spirit did in Mary in that moment to be of service to her son would be in Carla as she sits there with her son. And I'm just asking you, Mary, because St. Louis tells us that you give us the very attributes of your heart, I'm just asking for you to go to your spouse, the Holy Spirit, and from the divine and holy treasury, to gather those graces, Mother, into your own apron, and to bring them to your daughter, Carla, that she might walk in them and she might communicate them to her son. We offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Carla, I want you to know I am going to be praying for you, and so is everyone else today. And I'm going to ask you, friends, when Carla comes to your mind, wing a Hail Mary her direction. And Carla, you are in my rosary. As a matter of fact, I'm giving my rosary to you today. So God bless you, Carla. We're going to be right back. Friends, we want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Coming right back after the break. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It is so good to be with you today. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Tom Price is in for Matt Gubinski today. He's answering the phones. Now, Tom likes to be kept busy, too. And I like Tom to be busy. We all like to be busy about the things of the Lord. And he is eager to hear from you, and so am I. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to join us live here on Women of Grace Live. Right now, all of the lines are open for you. So do call us. We can get to you right away, and that'll be very, very lovely. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, simply use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will get that, and we will get it up on the board, and I will be able to read it. As I told you in the first part of our program today, we have Ace McKay in for Jeff Burson today. He's keeping the seat warm for Jeff, who will be back with us again on Monday. So we just had a very difficult call from Carla. It was difficult for her, but praise be to God that she called and she asked for prayer. And you know, I just want to talk for a moment about prayer. I think it's so very important. I had the opportunity, as I mentioned, to interview lots of wonderful people on EWTN, and Father Haggerty, Donald Haggerty, was with us yesterday. We were talking about prayer. I don't think that we understand the power of prayer. Well, I know that we don't. I know that we don't understand the power of prayer. We don't understand how it is that God looks for us to pray. Not that our prayers, in a certain sense, change the heart of God. This God's heart is non-changeable, you know, and why is that? It's because this God is the fullness of goodness. He's the fullness of truth. He's the fullness of beauty. Everything that he wills is good. He cannot will anything but the best. He can't, right? So his will, according to his nature, is always about the business of willing the best. But it's a funny thing about the will. You know, the will is a desire. You know, we desire. That's one of the faculties of the will. We desire with the will, but then we choose what the will desires. God desires your ultimate good. He desires the ultimate good for each and every person. He desires the ultimate good for Carla. He desires the ultimate good for Michael. That is what God does. And another, faculty, I guess you would say, aspect of the will is that you choose what it is that you desire. So this God of ours, desiring the good, only chooses the good for us. Think about that, right? Only chooses the good for us. And so he is only effecting the good for us, even when we don't see it. Even when it's hard to understand, especially when it comes in his sorrowful wrappings, you know, especially when it comes in moments of deep travail, like Carla's son is experiencing. And maybe you're experiencing that today. Maybe you're experiencing that same kind of depression of heart. First, we want to say seek help if you are, seek help for that. But also, don't give up on God, because God is going to take this very thing that's causing you such suffering. He's going to take that very thing and he's going to use it as an instrument for the great good, right? The great good. So I really, really want to encourage you, to pray. So it's not to change the heart of God. His heart is non-changeable. His heart is always about the good. But this is what St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, that God factors those prayers into the action, right? Can we understand this and comprehend it? No, because this is all about faith and trust in God. Right? But he factors our prayers in. He wants us to come to him. What parent does not want his or her child to come to him or her in moments of serious difficulty? What parent does not want that? And God wants that. He wants us to come to him. Now, why is that? Why is it that God wants us to come to him in prayer? Why doesn't he just go poof and make everything better? One, because God is not a magician. That isn't the way he operates. He can do that, but he chooses not to do that because he doesn't want to trespass on our free will. Again, and I've shared this in past days, I know, we one of God's attributes is free will, and he shares that attribute with us. We have free will. So when we come to God and we pray, what are we displaying? We are displaying, one, our faith in God, two, our trust in God, but three, our willingness to be open to what it is that God wants to do in us, right? So, it's a sign, in a sense, of our willingness. Now, God, he knows all things, so he knows the disposition of our heart. But that action, in a sense, also works interior to us in terms of receptivity. You see, we come, we pray, we ask, we display that faith in God, we display that trust in God, we display this willingness to enter into this action of God in the moment that we're praying about, right? And we discover within ourselves this surrender to God and his holy will. And then that gives God full rein to act in the situation, full rein to make movement. And then here's the beautiful thing. When we see it in the natural, what does that do? It feeds our faith. It feeds our trust. It feeds our hope. And we begin to see that God is good. We begin to see that God truly does work all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. Now, caveat here. We might not see the answer to our prayer in the way in which we expect to see the answer. In other words, we might be praying and in the midst of our prayer telling God how to resolve the situation. But this is where the trust comes in, We have limited capacity. We have limited knowing. We have limited sight. We have limited vision. But God is limitless. God is omniscient and sees all things. God is omnipotent and can do all things. God is omnipresent and in all things. And this God, who we have already defined, is moved only toward the good. This God knows what is best. What we're praying for and the way we're telling God, solve this problem for me this way, that might not be the best thing, even though we think it's the best thing. Because maybe there's an even greater good that God is going to work out. And maybe the way we're telling him to solve the issue or enter into the issue is not going to lead to that better good. And this is what faith is. Firm assurance in things hidden. I've given that acronym. I like it. Firm assurance in things hidden. We've got it on a plaque. You can get it at Women of Grace at our store. Firm assurance in things hidden. That's you know, there you have it right there. That's faith. We don't see it, but we trust in it. And what is trust? True resolve under severe testing. That's on a plaque too. True resolve under severe testing. And that leads us to hope. And what is hope? Holding on to the truths of the faith, owning the challenge, persevering in prayer and patience, and E, expecting God to intervene. So just a little teaching there, you know, about these areas of our lives. And, the other thing that, you know, our silent prayer does is that it fortifies and strengthens our relationship with God. We find when we are a constant in our time of prayer, when it's not just an intermittent thing, but when it's a daily thing, a daily coming to the Lord and sitting with him in prayer. When we do that, we find that when, you know, the big moments in life happen, the moments that are sad moments, the moments that are riveting moments, the moments that are filled with grief and darkness, we find that we have a resilience within us. And that resiliency is not ourselves. That resiliency is God's life in us, holding us firm in those moments. I can give testimony to this time and time again, especially in the big griefs of my life. So, you know, this is also very important. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. Do give us a call here. The phone lines are open for you. Tom Price is on the phones today. Berta is with us via YouTube. I think that this is our Berta from Panama. Is that right, Berta? Well, you can't answer me because you're on YouTube, but I think I see your head moving. And you tell us that when I prayed for Michael and for Carla, she says, when you prayed, Johnette, I had the vision of Michael coming out of that tomb, as you said, and also had St. Michael doing the battle for him. Well, Berta, thank you for that. I mean, God does work through our imagination. He sometimes, through the power of the Holy Spirit and these words of knowledge, is communicating something very, very significant. And so, Carla, if you're still listening, dear, I want you to hold on to that, right? Do hold on to that. This is not over for Michael. What a wonderful thing that St. Michael, and I'm just guessing that he might have been named for the archangel, is doing battle for him. And let us never forget our guardian angels who are with us all of the time, right? We should, you know, every day pray the St. Michael prayer, obviously, but we should also pray our prayer to our guardian angel. And the one that we learned as children is just the one I pray all the time. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love and trust me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. But pray it sincerely. Right. And then, you know, acknowledge your angel through the course of the day. If you're going through something different, difficult, no matter what it is, if you can't find the right ingredient that you need to bake a cake, ask your guardian angel to help you. You know, if you're going through significant battles, ask your guardian angel. And sometimes I'll tell my angel, you know, just go on out there and grab some of your buddies from Mary's court of angels. And bring them with you. And all of you, you know, just encircle this situation, encircle me or my loved one or whatever the deal is, right? Very important stuff. We have Joyce with us. She is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening to us via OK Catholic Radio. How are you today, Joyce?
I'm good. I'm very blessed. I feel very blessed. But my question is, I have a son that's 52. He's been on drugs for, say, 20 years. And he's been in, he walks the street, talks to himself, everything. So what I did, I left Texas and came down here. And I saw that I couldn't do anything. And I said, God, I give him to you. And what bothers me is that I know God don't need any help. And I know when you give God, give someone to God, it, you don't ask any questions. It's done. But I want to know, why do it hurt so bad? He's my youngest child. I have a child that lives in Houston. That's a chemist. Mm-hmm. And this one went to college. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And actually, I'm out shopping for him now, but I listen to you all every single time. My radio don't can't take it. So mm-hmm. Why does it hurt so bad? Why does it hurt so bad?
Well, Joyce, darling, it hurts so bad because you love him. You know, you love him and you want the best for him. And you have the capacity to see that the choices that he's made and the choices he continues to make are not the best for him. And it's your love for him that causes the pain and the suffering. And isn't that the case? You know, love wounds us. You know, as a matter of fact, I mentioned that I was talking with Father Haggerty yesterday, and one of the aspects of entering more deeply into this union with God that St. John of the Cross talks about are these wounds of love. Love wounds us. And yet, isn't it the very love of God that permits the wounding that greater good might be done? And so this Father, God, sent his only begotten Son into the world that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And that everlasting life came by way of the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord. But Father God was not blind to the travail of his Son. He saw. He saw his pain, and he saw his suffering. And Father God was wounded by that. Wounded by it for love. And our Lord suffered those wounds for love of us. He too allowed wounding for the sake of love. So what do you do? Excuse me. What do you do, Joyce, with this pain and the suffering that you feel for your son? Well, the best thing that you can do is to do as Jesus did, to offer it to God, to be the very thing that God can use to bring resolution to the situation. Suffering in love, in union with Christ, is the greatest prayer that we can pray. It's the greatest prayer. Why is that? Because it's the prayer of Jesus on the cross. There's not anything that we can experience in life that our Lord did not experience on the cross. Even a sense of abandonment by his own Father. So you take that suffering, which proves your love for him, proves your love for your son. You take that, which is causing you the most anguish, and you say, Father God, in union with the suffering, in union with the woundedness of Jesus on the cross, in union with that, I offer you my wounded heart, wounded in love for my son. And, you know, an even deeper reality choice, you know, this is so magnificent. This is just utterly magnificent. That suffering that you're feeling in your heart for your son certainly comes by way of your maternal suffering. But it's also Jesus suffering in you for your son. It's a portion of Jesus' own cross that you're experiencing. That portion of Jesus' cross that caused his blood to flow for your son, for your very son. And so when we allow ourselves to enter into these divine realities, the suffering that we experience takes on fire-tried gold. That suffering that we experience takes on the very glow of eternal love. It takes on that flame of love. And we become, in a sense, one with Jesus on that cross. And great things can happen. And here's the thing, sweetie. Even if you never see those things happening in time, we don't know what happens between a soul and God in that moment that soul is separating from body at death. But I do know this. Our merciful God gives each soul an opportunity to say yes to him, even if they've been far away at that moment. And your prayers, your sacrificial offering, the anguish of your own heart, all of that is brought to bear on that moment. And we don't know how God uses that to marinate a soul, even a very hardened one, to make it soft to his supplication at that moment, to yield to him. So Joyce, this suffering that hurts so bad is the very thing God wants to use for the healing, the ultimate healing for your son. Okay?
Thank you so much, because you said with Jesus share his love for us, and it's running in me, you know, that's the reason I'm hurting.
Yes. Yes. There is such power in that, Joyce, for your son. Such power. So thank and praise God for the suffering that you're feeling, for this opportunity to, as St. Paul writes to the Colossians, to make up in your own flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. Nothing, of course, lacking, but God in his divine and holy wisdom, leaving open that suffering of his Lord, that we, the suffering of our Lord, that we might enter into that and become as Jesus in these moments and allow him to suffer in us for the sake of others. So it's a deep teaching, Joyce. So you might want to take it to your prayer time and let the Holy Spirit work it in you, right? And ask Our Lady, because that's what our mother was experiencing at the foot of the cross, right? That's what she was experiencing. She was suffering. She wasn't just suffering compassionately with her son. She was suffering her son's suffering. And in a sense, this is what you're about to, okay?
You're absolutely right. I love you. Thank you so much.
Oh, baby, you are so welcome. God bless you now, okay? All right, so I did ascertain here that Berta saw that beautiful image in when I was praying for Michael. She is in Panama. She is one of our facilitators, so she does Women of Grace in the country of Panama there. Anna Marie says, I think it makes Jesus cry too, because he said to Faustina, if they would only ask. Yes. So we do ask And we do wait. And Jeff in Lancaster, PA, Sirius XM is the way he's listening to us. He talks about the power of the St. Michael prayer. Jeff, I can't get you on the air today. Excuse me. But yes, the St. Michael prayer is very, very powerful. And you know, pray the St. Michael prayer and use blessed salt and holy water. And that's something, Carla, that you might want to take into the facility when you go to visit your son. Bless his room with blessed salt, holy water, as you pray the St. Michael prayer. And you don't have to pray it out loud if you think it's going to disturb him. You pray it, though, silently, and just be about your little business there. Well, God bless all of you. We'll be back with you on Monday. Have a blessed and holy weekend. Bye-bye now.